Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today is a special edition. I'm in Alabama participating SBC annual meeting. And I'm with my brother and friend, Carter Tan. Hello, Carter. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, Dr. Sammy.
Well, thanks so much for your time for this podcast. Mm-hmm. I got to know you through Dr. Paul Kim and several online discussions. Mm-hmm. But this is my first time to meet you in person. Yep. And I'm so excited.
Same here.
Yeah. I'm so glad to do this podcast with you. Carter, could you introduce yourself a little bit?
Sure. So my name's Pastor Carter Tan, and I pastor the English ministries at Grace Chinese Baptist Church of Richmond. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I actually started back in 2001. Back then, I was a Buddhist. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, I've been a pastor there full time for about 4 years, going into my fifth year. Mm-hmm. The English ministries at our church consists of maybe a third-ish youth. Second generations, and some actually first generation youth. The rest of it are adults, and these adults come from various walks of life and have some Asian connections somewhat. So some of them are second generation born adults who've married and have kids, but feel a strong connection to the Asian culture, and so they come to our church. Then we have families who are Americans but have adopted Asian children, and so they come because they want their children to have some Asian environment to learn about their roots. There's also a lot of mixed marriage couples of American spouses and Chinese spouse, and they're also seeking for a community to be part of. So that's what my English ministry congregation is made out of, and it's very unique and also very exciting and challenging to minister to such a wide variety of people in that congregation. So that's my local church context. The Chinese congregation are first generation, primarily from mainland China. That's the vast majority of them, and you get a sprinkling of other Chinese folks from various other countries like Vietnam, Hong Kong, Taiwan. So those are the minority in the church. So it's primarily mainland China. And that's my wife as well. I met my wife in college, and so she is also from Beijing. Mm-hmm. The other ministries that I'm involved in outside of our church are regional, state, and also national levels. Because I do believe in not isolating our church, but being part of the larger body of the Southern Baptist. And so regionally, I'm very involved in our Dover Baptist Association. Mm-hmm. That one is a corporation of about 60 local churches in the area. And so we work to help the Baptist churches equip pastors, train lay leaders, things like that. And so I'm on some of their committees for leadership. At the state level, we are part of the BGAV. And so I'm also on some of the committees to help with scholarships for seminary students, college students, things like that. I'm actually hoping to be more involved at the state level because I do want to help more Virginia churches. And at the national level, I'm involved in the National Asian American Fellowship that Dr. Sammy is the president over. And that has just been
another Monday.
Until Monday. So just a couple more days. Yeah. But that one has been an eye-opener because that ministry has opened up my eyes and helped me connect with so many Asian American leaders across the various fellowships. You have Korean, Japanese, Chinese. I mean, you just go down the list. It's just amazing to see how all these various ethnic fellowships are working together for the gospel. And I haven't even thrown in, you know, the other entities like the seminaries and Guidestone and all of these other entities that have Asian American consultants and Asian American advisors in them. So that's been the most exciting for me, the national level one. Mm-hmm. That has opened up my eyes to so many things. I'm also involved in a lot of the youth work just because that's part of my congregation. We actually collaborate with a lot of Korean churches in Richmond, and we do an annual retreat And I just love doing those retreats because you can clearly see the Chinese kids. They're so different from the Korean kids, because the Korean kids will walk up to someone older and they would bow and show respect, and the Chinese kids would just walk past them. So I give the Chinese kids a lot of hard time. I would say, you know, look at the Korean kids. They're so respectful of their elders. So that's the youth level. And I'm also involved in the part of like a collaborative of Chinese churches in Mid-Atlantic, from Maryland down to South Carolina. So we collaborate to do an annual conference, and it's not just Chinese Baptist churches, but it is primarily Chinese Baptists. And we come together to do a conference for, to train the church through equipping them. And that has also been great for me because it's regional. These are people that I can access and work with, and I can drive, you know, 2 hours and get to them and talk to them. Mm. And so that's kind of part of my ministry. I'm involved in a lot of things because I feel like we should be part of the larger body of Christ. Mm. And so that's something that I'm very passionate about.
Mm. Wow, that's great. So you have lots of hats.
Yes, I do. But I really enjoy it. Mm. I really do.
That's great. Brother, I want to know more about your personal stories. Mm-hmm. So you're from Malaysia originally,
Yes, I
right?
am. Malaysia. So, grew up there.
Okay. When did you come to the United States?
I came here in 1997 for okay. school.
Okay.
So I'm actually like fourth or fifth generation Malaysian, okay. although my ethnicity is Chinese. Mm-hmm. So several generations before that, from China, my great-great-great, you know, grandparents came to Malaysia, and I consider myself, like, if you were to ask me, who are you, Pastor Carter? I would say Malaysian first, actually, and then Chinese second. So I have a very strong Malaysian identity. Mm. So that's kind of where I came from. And when I came in 1997, it was to pursue a bachelor's degree in Mississippi State University for electrical engineering. Mm. So that's my background, double E. Very passionate about that, actually. I like tinkering around with things. I'm very technical. And that will show you later how it kind of comes out in my later career. But I met my wife there. She's a chemical engineering major. And so we met there. She basically derailed my life. Because my goal was to go there, get an education, and go back to Malaysia. Mm. But I met her and stayed in America ever since. Mm. And so coming out of my double E major, I got a job in with Capital One. Mm-hmm. So back then, Capital One was a very young company. They had just come out, and they were recruiting a lot of technical people. Mm-hmm. And so both me and my wife got recruited in. And we started working after graduation back in 1999. Mm-hmm. So we moved from Mississippi to Richmond in 1999 to work at Capital One. My wife is still there. She's in her 20th year working at Capital One. Mm-hmm. I left about 9 years ago to go to seminary. Mm. And Southeastern is the one I ended up in. Originally, I was going to go to Southwestern just because Capital One has another huge campus over there. And we were going to move there because it was closer. I didn't want to drive more than an hour to go to school. But Southeastern came up and it was a better choice. It's definitely one of those things that God led. And so we were able to stay rooted in Richmond. We didn't have to do a whole lot of changes, but it was a change for me because I had to drive down to the seminary every week actually to do my classes. But about 5 years ago, I graduated from Southeastern, and my church at that time, we had an English ministry that was really growing, and so they asked if I would come on board to be full-time EM pastor. Mm-hmm. And I said yes. I didn't say yes initially, but because I didn't know where God wanted to lead me. And so eventually, I think I was convinced that our local church is where I should stay and invest. And so we ended up staying there. And in fact, during my seminary years, an opportunity at the IMB came up. Mm. And so I was actually working full-time at the IMB in their technology department for 5 years while doing my seminary studies, MDiv, in Southeastern. And so when Southeastern was done and I went to my church, I also resigned from the IMB. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my career and my journey in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. So you briefly mentioned that you used to be Buddhist. So how did you come to Christ?
My whole family were Buddhists. As far as I can remember, it's generations of Buddhists. And so I grew up going to youth group, to Buddhist youth group. We would sing, like, we would chant Buddhist scripts. We would have, like, youth retreats. Wow. The real reason I went was because of the girls. But I grew up completely immersed in Buddhist culture. My sister was the president of her Buddhist society in college. I remember growing up, going to the temples to pray. So it was a big part of my life. And so I had Christian friends, actually. And I was very anti-Christian. I remember in high school, I would gather our Buddhist friends and we would have debates with our Christian friends. And we would completely destroy them. because in my mind, what the Christian friends believed in was just pure nonsense. And so that impacted me when I came to salvation in Christ. I was very hesitant to accept God because there was guilt there. But that was my life as a youth. And when I went off to college, I basically stopped going to any sort of Buddhist activities because it was very focused on academics. Like,
in Mississippi? Sure.
In Mississippi. And also, so my college experience is split. I did half of my general studies in Malaysia, and then I did half of my concentration studies in engineering in America. So they do that because you can save money. If you do it locally, it's a lot cheaper. And so that's what I did. And my whole time in college, I just dropped out. I did not go to any sort of Buddhist things. And I think we see that a lot with our youth as well in our churches, where they just, once they go to college, it's like a dark hole. They just disappear. And that's what happened to me. Then in Mississippi State, I met my wife. She was actually a Christian. She came to know Christ through the Baptist Student Union in Mississippi State University. Accepted Christ, but very quickly fell away. After she met me, actually, I was a really bad influence on her life. So for people hearing, you know, don't go dating non-Christians, because they will be very bad influence, just like me on my wife. And so for a couple years, she actually fell away from Christ. And so it wasn't until we got a job with Capital One and we moved to Richmond that the neighbor across the street, they were Christians. They were part of a new Chinese church plant. The Chinese church that we go to is actually a church plant that was planted by the Chinese church in the south side. So they saw all these new influx of immigrants and white collar workers working for companies like Capital One, Circuit City. They were kind of flooding the west end of Richmond. And so the church said, hey, we should church plant out there. And so I started going to that church. Back then it was small. There were maybe like 30 people. But so they invited us to church, and I told them, I said, I'm not Christian, I'm a Buddhist, I have no desire to go visit your church. And so they said, okay, you know, and they kind of left me alone for a little bit. And during that time, I went back to Malaysia because we had a formal wedding there. So my wife and I got legally married in America. A year later, we had a banquet in Beijing for her family, and then another year in Malaysia. So our wedding was like spread out over 2 years. But the one in Malaysia is the one where we consider our marriage date. And so when I went back to Malaysia, I had talked to my wife. I said, okay, everyone in my family is now Christian except me. And this was even another God story, where every month someone in my family came to know Christ. And all this happened while I was in college and while I was working in Capital One. So one by one, they started getting saved. And each time my mom called me, she would say, hey, Carter, you know, I want to tell you about Christ. I want to tell you about Jesus. And I just found it very annoying, and I wasn't interested at all because I just didn't have a good positive view of Christians and Christianity. And I actually thought my parents and my family were very hypocritical, because they were Buddhists, you know, why would you switch to being a Christian? Especially like my grandma, who was 80 years old, she accepted Christ. To me, that's just bizarre. And my dad, who's been pretty much an atheist his whole life, he doesn't even get involved in all the Buddhist stuff. He accepted Christ. And so to me, I kind of was dumbfounded by what was going on. And I knew my mom was trying very hard for me to accept Christ. And each time she called me, I wouldn't listen to her. I would put the phone off to the side and kind of check every couple minutes to see if she's done talking about Jesus. And I would try to change the topic. And so when we went back to Malaysia for the wedding, my wife and I said, okay, we know my mom's going to trap me. She's going to try to pull me to church. She's going to do all that she can to get us to go to church. And we said, okay, we'll try to fight her off. But God had his way, and we ended up going to church that Sunday.
In Malaysia,
yeah, for our wedding. We were there for the wedding. And that day was a guest speaker from Singapore. I remember him talking. I was just sitting there feeling very annoyed at why my mom won and how she got me to church. But I remember being very... I don't know what happened, but I remember thinking to myself, how long is my mom going to keep up doing this? And so I said, okay, let me try this. While I was sitting there, I guess I prayed. I don't know what I did, but I had a conversation with God, who I didn't believe exists. So I don't know what I was doing. But I said, okay, God, in quotes, if you exist, here's questions I have for you. And this was all in my mind while the sermon was happening, right? I remember I had a long list, probably 10 to 15 questions. And I said, okay, answer them for me. And I kid you not, the pastor, through the course of his sermon, answered all my questions.
Wow.
I don't even remember what he preached that day. But I remember him answering every single question I asked God. And so after his sermon, he said, okay, who would like to accept Christ? Come on down. I didn't want to do it because I didn't know what just happened. I was just sitting there in shock. Then my mom grabbed my right hand because she was sitting to my right. My wife, who just had a revival because God was also speaking to her then, she kind of renewed her commitment to Christ. She pulled my left hand. And so they sandwiched me and pushed me down to the front. So my mom said, Carter, you are not running this time. You're going to accept Jesus today. And my wife, she was crying. I didn't know what was going on with her, but she said, oh, Carter, you know, I just had this amazing revival and I want to go down and recommit my life to Christ. And so the two women that I love the most, in a way, like, forced me to go down. And the pastor said, do you want to accept Christ? And I said, I guess so. So that's my whole journey of how I became a Christian, how I went from Buddhism to Christian. So when we came back after the wedding, my neighbor came back to me again and said, would you like to come to church? And we said, well, I guess I'm a Christian now. I should go to a church. And so we started going there in 2001 and have been there since.
Wow. That is really, really amazing story. So thank you so much for sharing the story. Hello, listeners. If you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.